The views expressed on the Big Shiny podcast do not express the views of Big Shiny Robot as a whole, its subsidiaries, or its sponsors.
And the Big Shiny podcast contains coarse language like penis butt. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
Welcome to Big Shiny Robot.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Big Shiny Podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about video games, including a discussion on the latest release from Bungie, Destiny. As always, the Big Shiny Podcast is brought to you by the Bohemian Brewery. You can find them at 94th East, 7200 South in Midvale, here in Utah, SecretCompassCollectibles.com, and SuperheroStuff.com. Be sure to check them both out for all of your geeky needs. I spent so much money at the Superhero Stuff. Salt Lake Comic Con.
I'm
happy with all my purchases. Yeah,
I talked myself out of it a few times.
Not me, man. I just went there like every day.
He talked himself into it
a
couple times.
This shirt is Superhero Stuff.
It's a cool shirt. Yeah,
that was good.
Eastman
Turtles. Yeah. So sitting to my right is Jimmy, also known as Mexicus Prime.
Yep.
Running the show is Tom, also known as whatever your fucking Zombietron shit is.
It's amazing because, like, I've done the hill again. I was drunk in episode 2, sober in episode 3.
There it is. Kylie, also known as Vagitron. He doesn't have anything.
Oh, I was flipped over.
He was looking at his notes. I thought it helped for sure.
Yeah. You got nothing?
Ass gravy.
That was pretty good.
That was totally impromptu. Genius.
That was pretty good.
Genius. This man is a genius.
Ass gravy.
And shaking his head in disgust.
I can't.
Co-founder of BigShinyRobot.com, Lucas, also known as Kiltacularitron.
I don't like following Kylie.
And me trying to wrangle all these assholes is Tyson, also known as R Spot. So we're going to jump right into things here with our video games episode. Jimmy, you want to talk about
The Street Fighter,
the Omega Street Fighter update.
Oh my god!
So Ultra Street Fighter came out how long ago, Tom? A couple months ago?
Like a month and a half in.
Now
two and a half months in because Evo. So 2.5 months in.
Okay. So 2.5 months in, they have a free DLC coming out in October, I want to say. And it basically is a new edition. So the Ultra Street Fighter, you can basically play this game and play any edition of the Street Fighters before it. So you can play the first generation of it, the second generation of it, all the way up to Ultra. Now they've added another edition of it, which features a whole new moveset for the characters. So instead of Ken throwing fireballs through his hands, he kicks the fireballs.
What?
Yeah.
It is
whole new moveset.
It is so clusterfucky. Like, they're doing this just to be assholes, and well, they know it.
And they said that they're not doing it based on like balancing. They're doing it based on fun. So they want people to get into this game again. So they have Blanca. Blanca can now teleport. So you know how he does the shocking thing? He can now go underneath the ground and teleport and come up.
And then he can end that.
I want to come over and play this.
It looks like
I want to kick fireballs at you.
It looks very, very easy. I think it's a easier and a fast move set. Yeah, it's like, fair
Sagat,
to say.
What was that kick Sagat has? Like, it's a two hit. It's like Tiger Hurricane, I think. But basically, he's got like a new like three hit kick, and you can link stupid shit. Like the combos look super.
Do you remember how like Honda does like the thousand hand slap, and he does like the headbutt? Well, now he throws salt from his waist.
What the?
He has like
so he can like stun you with the salt, and then come into it with a combo. Like
So everyone has like brand new movesets, and they haven't like released everyone's stuff yet. They've just shown like maybe about six people far.
Like some of Ryu's a little bit because Ryu's got the Perry, they showed Blanca, they showed Sagat, they showed Honda,
Guile.
So Guile
usually has like a sonic boom. Now he throws seven of them.
Like, what?
Like they're just making it ridiculous.
Yeah. So now, like after you go like sonic boom, seven come out instead of one.
And it's like Dhalsim is like a rushdown character. So Sim is very spacing oriented, where
with the stretch limbs, you know,
limbs. He's not very fast. He doesn't get hard.
Now he has a dash like a jackrabbit.
So he can like dash across the screen, and like they're making this Omega mode just fucking crazy, and it looks fun. It looks cool.
It looks
so. Is this more like? Is this kind of for? Is it just for fun?
Yeah,
it's just for fun.
Like, you're never going to see this at EVO.
No, they're never going to do it. They'll never play a serious tournament because the balance is totally fucked.
Again, like, they're reversing the game. So they announced that they're doing it for fun. They're not doing it for, like, balancing.
But, like, the thing I like, though, is they're so human. It's like Ryu's parry. It looks like he's using the Masat style, so...
So a parry is when, if someone throws a punch and you do an input for blocking, and then immediately after they punch, a move comes out on your end. So it's like an automatic move, right?
Yeah, and I think the parry to me looked like more like a focus attack, but it was just like an instant, like, boom, block, block, block. So it was it was a block without block stun, so then you can recover an attack from it. So it looks fun. It's going to be stupid fun. And there's a lot of criticism from the hardcore community right now because there are still balance issues with Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, and glitches of, and yeah, everything.
And instead of fixing that, they're releasing Omega Mode. But it looks super fun.
But Omega Mode sounds like a fucking blast.
It sounds like
it looks like a fucking blast.
Like,
it looks like something.
Some of the shit they were doing was fun.
I'm never going to say that the game is stale, but the game is like very footsie oriented, right, Tom?
It's not stale, but...
You gotta put in a lot of hours to get good at this game, and this mode is gonna make it so any casual gamer can pick it up and still
have some fun, and then go
game night at Jimmy's.
It's gonna be fun. I think it's gonna be real fun.
So I'm excited. It'll be fun. Like I said, I hate Blanka. He's my least favorite character in the game. I will probably pick up Blanka just so I can fucking teleport because that looks super fun. Like, that's a fun move.
Nice.
What did Bison have? Bison had crazy shit, too. Like, he had some teleports.
I can't remember, but I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
We talked on the phone for like an hour and a half about it. That's going to be sick.
So next up, Killer Instinct Season 2. Now, we've talked about this before a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, so this is a Jimmy thing. I'm not sure what Jimmy wants to talk about here, so go.
So, basically, the combos in the past for Killer Instinct, you could do a combo with a light move and then a light linker and then a light ender. So you can basically just like mash out a bunch of light moves. And the only way to break those is if you guess that the opponent is going to play light, or if you're mashing a bunch of medium moves or a bunch of heavy moves. Well,
right.
Now,
so essentially from a combo breaker, you've got to
guess.
You have to hit the correct combo breaker within their rhythm to break the combo.
So now with the season two, you have to go light, medium, or heavy. So I can't just mash a light combo with a light, like, mid move into a light ender. I have to go light, medium, heavy, or I have to go medium, heavy, and then back to light. So it's just made it a little bit more of a guessing game. And now there's also aerial breakers. So now if somebody's doing a combo in the air to you, you can get out of that.
Which I think is fair, because when absolutely. They talked about doing the aerial combos, that was a concern of, like, okay, one thing that makes Marvel kind of balanced is
the availability to get out.
You can break a TAC, right? And so they need something like that. TAC and then, is Team Aerial Combo, for those that don't play Marvel.
Yep. And then the third thing I'd like to say is they introduced Maya, which is a character from Killer Instinct 2, and TJ Combo, which is a character from both Killer Instinct 1 and 2. They brought those characters in for Season 2, which just came out last week. So by the time this podcast airs, it'll be 2 weeks. 3 weeks in.
They'll be working on new characters already, I'm sure. So,
Killer Instinct 2 looks like a very balanced game. Looks like a very fun fighting game. I've still yet to play it, but I'm very excited and still study the shit out of it for not being.
I think we've talked about this before, but it is worth noting that it was taken from Double Helix, and it's being done by Iron Galaxy, which is the same studio that did the port of Street Fighter Alpha 3. They also did Dive Kick,
which is a lot.
So they
too.
Have a very fundamental understanding of fighting.
So
fighting games.
Okay, so real quick, sorry to jump back a subject for a second, but you've been sending me videos of your Street Fighter goings-ons.
Oh yeah, just like little like
combos.
With the, well, but yeah, but the I'm more interested in the skins. Because, like, what's the response every time you send me a video?
I get a response like, I didn't know that Catwoman was in the game. I didn't know that Batman was in the game.
Catwoman cami.
Yeah. I got, like, Vega in, like, his Zorro outfit. And Tyson's like, I didn't know Batman was in the game. I didn't cami is Catwoman.
So where are these skins coming from? Are they
just shit that I bought.
Yeah, you can buy them.
I can't afford games, so I make Tom buy me the games and I buy the skins.
So you do, like, skin packs you can buy, and they just did the Summer Vacation pack, which, aside from...
Summer Vacation.
Yeah, and they're all wearing, like, Summer Vacation clothes, and the only real one I really
Summer Vacation clothes.
Like, for example...
I'll send you videos.
So, for example...
Please send me videos. No, I don't want to hear the description. I just want Jimmy to send me videos.
Okay, perfect. Poison's wearing a sundress, which is actually a really good costume.
But tattoos on her legs and stuff. I have one more...
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
One more fighting game thing. There's a new game. It's coming out on the September 30th. It's Persona 4 Arena Ultimix. It's basically Persona 4 Arena, but the new version of it.
Yeah.
The exciting thing about this game is with most fighting games, people want to know how to play it. So they either just button mash or they take time to learn it.
Yep.
Well, Atlus, the producer of the game, is actually coming out with... thank you. I need something to have in my hands.
David Letterman now?
Atlus came out with videos and tutorials saying how to do moves. So everything from basic moves to advanced techniques.
Right.
And it's a four-button fighter. So it's a super easy game by nature. And then they're giving you information on how to play it, how to play it correctly.
And I think that, like, you know, the only other fighting game that really taught you to play fighting games was Skullgirls. And if you want to learn to play fighting games, go buy Skullgirls. It's on Xbox Live. It's on PSN. It's like $15. But it has a full tutorial. It talks about hit confirming, chaining, the difference between chaining and linking, talks about all the different kinds of cancels and combo setups, talks about, they even go into Oki a little bit and kind of how, you know, frame traps. So that's a good thing. And so the fact that Persona is doing this is an acknowledgement that there is a very strict learning curve for fighting games. And it's cool that the developers are actually understanding that part of their game marketing needs to be, let us teach you how to do it.
Yeah. And it's just awesome because, again, it's four buttons. So it's not that complicated. And if you want to learn some cool shit to beat up your friends.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I think it's cool because this is kind of like the first anime fighter game that I've been into. And there's, I don't know how many characters, I want to say somewhere along the lines of 30. Every character has like a shadow character, which is like the evil version or whatever, that has a different type of moveset, but similar. But again, the game comes out September 30th.
I think after you go to EVO with us next year, you'll be totally into Blaze Blue. Because that game...
Oh, yeah, for sure. That game's been around for minutes.
But it's fucking awesome to watch. So.
For sure. But that's all I got, so...
Right on. So, Nintendo announcements.
Yeah, I don't... Oh. What are you talking about specifically?
I just wanted to touch on Nintendo released the demo for Smash Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
For the 3DS.
So I played that for a couple of hours. Let's talk about it.
I haven't gotten it. Everybody's leaving.
No, I can talk about Smash 2 with you, Luke.
Like, literally, they're leaving. No, so Smash Brothers, they did the 3DS demo. People have been going crazy over it.
Yeah.
So you got to play it. Maybe tell me a little bit.
Smash Brothers. I mean, that's...
You hate that fucking game.
I don't hate it. I just... So I spent, like... So I had, a night I could not sleep. It was actually before my last day off. I was stressing the fuck out. I couldn't fall asleep. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh, that's right. There's a fucking Smash Brothers demo. So I downloaded it. I played Mega Man for about an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
Who's actually kind of a weak character, I've heard,
in
the game.
But I was having some fun. I played Link for about an hour.
I've always liked Link.
Yeah, Link was cool. And then that was all I played. I wasn't really into... I can't remember who the other characters were. There's the Villager, Link, Mega Man, and there's one other in
was
the
it
demo.
Was it Samus?
No, the other one in the demo, Mario, was the other one in the demo.
Oh, yeah.
Not really a Mario guy, at least for the fighting game. So the thing is like, there were some inconsistencies with the game that really pissed me off, and there was a lot of fun I was having, too. So, for example, I couldn't figure out when Mega Man would do his Mega Buster and his Normal Buster, right? Like, his Charge Shot and his Not Charge Shot. It would just randomly come out. Hmm. Same with, like, his Up Smash. Sometimes I would get, like, there was an aerial Up Smash, and so some of the stuff didn't feel as consistent as I wanted it to. Had a lot of fun playing, and I played, like, I mean, I played for like 4 hours solid of just practicing and messing around.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a lot better than the Wii U one that we were all playing at that game night the other time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It felt better. It didn't feel as chaotic. It felt a lot more solid, and there was more fun to it. But there was still a lot of room to grow. So I liked it more than I thought I would, but at the end of the day, it still felt like Smash Brothers. So for me, I'm going to have to overcome that if I'm going to play it. But because that comes out in a week. By the time this podcast airs,
I
want to
find out who's getting it on the 3DS.
You know what?
Well, if you buy it, I'll be buying it.
I'll be getting it on 3DS.
Are you?
I heard too that, and this will actually add to what Tom was saying, there's dashing now. I think there's a couple canceling. And the canceling moves, basically, like if you put in a light punch and you want to do a heavy right after, you can link them. But that's only to some specific characters.
Mega Man you can has, customize your characters too.
Yeah, and Mega so Man up has
oh, and the Miis and the I think we should also
Well, that's also, my problem is I'm still rocking.
But those won't work on the current 3DS,
right? And I'm rocking a current Gen 3DS, like an original Gen 3DS. Still,
Chris played on that and said it was kind of hard to see.
It wasn't bad. I was fine with that, but
he's blind.
But, yeah, my concern now is like I kind of want to go get one of the new Pokemon 3DSs that come out in like 4 weeks. or one of that new Persona. Like, I don't, I'm not really a Persona guy, but have you guys seen the GameStop exclusive Persona 3DS?
The Nintendo.
There's the NES one, version, yeah. And there's a Persona one that's this gorgeous dark blue and black that has like the Persona markings on it. It looks super cool. But the NES one is the other one that I'm like, fuck, maybe I need to go buy the NES.
Well, so is it going to be hard?
Is it going to be a pain in the ass on the 3DS XL that I got?
No,
I think it'll be easier.
So I guess a lot of people have been posting pictures of their analog sticks breaking on the 3DS playing Smash Brothers demo.
Because they're mashing it so hard?
It popping right off.
Really? Because
quite a few people have been posting it. I don't know if it's similar to like Apple with their phone, if it's like 10 people of however many. But I thought that was interesting.
Because ask Jimmy, we play fighting games together. I'm pretty rough on my controller.
Yeah.
I mashed pretty sure. hard and it was fine. But
anyway. I don't think you mash hard, but your input's going.
One other thing I wanted to mention that they've released this in Japan. It hasn't made it here yet.
The LL.
There's the 3DS LL. And the difference with that, there's a couple things, but the two noteworthy things I wanted to mention is it comes with there'll be a right analog. So you've got the left analog, and then there's one, a smaller one, just up from the buttons that's supposed to be used for, like, Smash Brothers to be more fluid with your...
Yeah, and also for, like, Monster Hunter and some of the other RPGs.
Monster Hunter is the game, yeah, that's being made specifically for it. You can play Smash without this, but that's kind of, it's a benefit if you have it, I guess. And then the 3D, as you guys know, having 3DSs, you kind of have to be right in front of it and looking at kind of the right angle.
Yep.
And they've improved the technology to where you can look at it from any angle if you're tilting it left or right or up or down, and it's still 3D, and it doesn't mess it up. And there's some other perks with it.
Yeah, so it also, the bottom, you can pop the bottom off, and it is using a micro SD instead of the original, the standard SD from now on.
Right.
Which has made it nice.
And then the faceplates you can change out.
Yeah, which is kind of a bummer on the micro SD, because I just upgraded my 3DS to a 16 gig SD, because I just kind of ghetto rigged my way into it. I got a 16 gig through, I think it was Comic Con with our podcast. But so I have a 16 gig in there now. But that's kind of where my thing is. Is like they've announced it in Japan. It comes out in Japan in like a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
There's no American date yet.
Yeah, but I think that they're gonna. It has to come to America.
Spring maybe.
Because you can't use you can't scan amiibos on the current gen 3DSs.
Right, but at the same time,
if they want to push that technology.
But it took a long time for street passes to hit up. And now I'm actually seeing a lot of, like Danielle from Hello Sweetie was like, oh, bring your 3DS to the swap meet and tag me. And people were tagging at Comic-Con. I mean, how many years have I been waiting for people to actually give a fuck about tagging?
Yes,
so my concern is that amiibos are going to be huge in Japan, and they're going to slowly roll here, so they'll kind of wait. I don't know.
Who knows? I'm hoping, because if they do an LL, and I wish that the Nintendo-style one, the NES... Yeah. Was an LL, because then I would upgrade to it.
And that's the one I want, but then...
I don't want to buy another XL just to wait and buy an LL.
And that's my problem, is I don't want to jump between generations, because I've had the original since launch. I've bought it on launches, like my Vita. I don't want to, just like you, I don't want to buy the NES model, because that was my favorite Game Boy Advance SP.
Mm-hmm.
I had that one, too.
I would love to have this on my 3DS XL for the first time on an XL, but I do not want to buy that and have in the spring a fucking LL launch, and I'm like, well, shit.
Yeah, and that's...
Because the LL is actually worth the upgrade.
I was kind of hoping that they would push it closer to the Smash Brothers release, but...
Right.
But yeah, if you guys are all getting Smash,
well, good. I'll up the shit out of you guys on my XL.
Yeah, I'll buy Smash, yeah. Because
you can play over Wi-Fi, right?
You can play over Wi-Fi. You can use your Nintendo, just like Pokemon, you can use your ID.
Your friend code. It comes out like the 15th, I think.
So no different than like playing here, like you be at your house, I'll be at my house, and we can play each other.
You can play Smash.
Cool.
And then the Smash Brothers for the Wii U still has a street date of December 31st. 2014,
which is 2014.
Which is just a placeholder. Yeah, they haven't set an actual date. I'm looking forward to that, though.
I'm really curious about the 3DS Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers.
I've never played a fighting game on a handheld before.
Just a heads up, it comes out on Tuesday.
Is it this Tuesday?
It comes out in 5 days.
And I'd recommend getting the digital version if I was you guys.
Well, I the only I got a physical copy of. Pokemon Y,
yeah,
because it came free with my
system.
Because I bought it. You actually sent me the link. I bought my XL whenever they said buy an XL, and it comes with a free game. And I went to a Target and bought the very last Zelda edition that already came with the free Zelda game, which I still haven't fucking played, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, fuck you, man.
I know.
It's the best game they've had on the 3DS.
And then...
Where's your window?
Huh?
Kylie.
It's Kylie, man.
Kylie's just creeping out front, waiting for the cops.
And then So then for the free game, I grabbed Pokemon Y.
Right.
So, but everything else, like I downloaded the classic Donkey Kong game.
Oh, nice.
Fucking fun.
Yeah.
And like my intention is like I'll be buying them all digital as long as I can.
It's October 3rd.
Was it 35?
So October 3rd, it'll be 40, I bet. It'll be $39.99, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, generally they're 40. But yeah, I'll be picking that up. Probably have to wait till I get paid again, but...
Yeah.
That's the two Nintendo things I wanted to touch on.
Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah, so by the time this podcast comes out, the embargo will be lifted, and I wish I was further in the game than I am now, but... So it came out September 30th on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. It's a Sherlock Holmes Crime and Punishment. And it's really cool so far. So what they've done is they've kind of masked like a point-and-click adventure. They've almost like masked that in like a third-person adventure. So you're playing as Sherlock Holmes, and you're solving mysteries. But you solve the mysteries by connecting events, uncovering pieces of the story, investigating crime scenes. So like where I'm at right now, I'm at the end of the first crime. So basically, you're bored out of your mind. You get and they've got all the right characters. So what is his name? The guy from Scotland Yard, who you're always up in his business. The detective.
Whatever Sherlock his name Holmes?
Is. No, not him, but the guy that always calls on Sherlock Holmes from Scotland Yard. Not LaMarche. I don't know.
I don't remember.
I can't think of his name right now.
I don't know who you're talking about.
He shows up and he's like, a guy was murdered. We got to figure this shit out. So you go to the guy's house and you're interviewing the guy's wife. You go and you inspect the body, which that's the other thing I like because it's really kind of adult. Like, the dude was killed by a harpoon, so he's impaled with a harpoon stuck to the wall and there's blood everywhere. But then you can do like the Sherlock Holmes thing where you kind of slow everything down and you see what other people don't see. Hmm. And you scan all of that. That puts all the evidence into kind of your mind. You have this big case book.
Lestrade.
Thank you. But then you're bouncing, like in this current case, I'm bouncing between the place where the murder happened, wherever Sherlock Holmes lives. I should know this. I'm dying right now. 221. Yeah, so you're going to Baker Street.
You're going
to Scotland Yard. You're going to where the murder happened, and then you find out there's some information you need from the docks. So then you're like paying off these little like street hooligans to go to the docks and get info, and then you're interviewing more people at Scotland Yard. You're taking people into custody and interviewing them, and you're getting information off of them to help them gain. So it's kind of a really cool murder mystery thing, and you're going to go through and solve crimes throughout London. I think if you're an action adventure shooter, killer, blow 'em up kind of person, this game's not for you. It's very methodical, and it's a lot like those old point and click adventures like Monkey Island, but you're running Sherlock Holmes around these worlds, exploring them and picking up little pieces of evidence and then using
like
them.
Myst.
Yeah, kind of like Myst, but with more human interaction than Myst had.
What game? I'm sorry I came in late.
Sherlock Holmes Crime and Punishment.
Okay, so I had one for the Sega CD. It was a Sherlock Holmes game, but it was all that filmed stuff.
Uh-huh.
You had to just kind of go your own way. Choose your own adventure.
Yeah. It's
very much a lot like that.
What you were explaining sounded just like that.
Yeah, interesting. But the visuals, like the and I know we're at a point in this generation graphics shouldn't matter. I mean, the face animations and the models are gorgeous. Like, when you're talking to somebody and it's got, like, a close-up of, like, the headshots, I mean, you can see pores on the skin and you can see all the skin flexing correctly with the jaws. It's a gorgeous game.
Dang.
My wife is a huge Sherlock Holmes fan. I'm gonna have to get this game for
her. And he doesn't look like Benedict Cumberbatch, but he looks like Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
And the other fun thing is, like, it's kind of stupid. I haven't really used it too much yet. Is you go into his bedroom and you go to his dressing room and you can change him. And when you're doing this, so for example, it's like, oh, I've got to go talk to these guys at the docks. And so then you have to dress him up like a sailor so they'll actually talk to him, right? Because you'll look like a detective, and they're going to be like, fuck this guy. So you try to like kind of put yourself
they're gonna
like...
They're going
to
fuck that guy.
Yeah, they're going to fuck that guy. And so it's... But so far... you could sail the seven seas. So it's... So far, I'm really kind of enjoying it. I'm having a good time figuring out the murder mystery. And I'm really like... The other thing is the load screens are done very creatively. So when you're going from, say, 221 Baker Street to Scotland Yard, you hop in a carriage and ride the carriage, right? So basically the load screen is him smoking his pipe sitting in the carriage.
This is just like that fucking Sega CD game.
Yeah, it is. I swear to God. I almost wonder if it's a remake. And so you're sitting in the carriage, but then you're like, oh, if you right-click, it'll pull up, like, your deductions. And you'll have, like, this brain synapse, and you can kind of start making, like, all these keywords will show up of, like, okay, I've talked to all these people. And if you start making connections, it gives you, like...
Other places to go.
not other places to go, but it gives you like theories about how the murder happened. So one of the things was like the harpoon went straight through his body and pinned him to a wall, and this guy's a really small guy that we've got in custody. So then it pulls over and it's like, all right, well, there's two theories now. Either A, it took two guys to shove this harpoon through the guy, or the dude that harpooned him was strong as shit. So then you've got the two there, and then they start all to link together, and you're creating this web of all of your deductions until you finally get to your final case, to your final idea. So it's a lot of fun, and I'm already like second guessing myself. Okay, this guy is in custody. I'm interviewing him, but what the fuck is like? Why was this guy breaking into the place to steal something? Oh, he wanted, and it's a neat, really tightly woven web of stories, and so I'm kind of enjoying that. And you learn about all the characters. You keep a history on them. So, like I said, I don't think it's a game for someone who's really into, like... I mean, if all you play is, like, Dead Space, Titanfall, Call of Duty, Gears of War, probably not your game. But if you want a little more cranial game that you sit down, roll through, and just kind of solve mysteries and just look at a kind of a really beautiful world and gorgeous, gorgeous space animations, it's a cool game so far.
So, nice. I'm intrigued.
It's fun. And like, if you like the new Sherlock show, really good chance this is going to equate well because he acts a lot like that Sherlock.
Nice.
So
I'm going to check it out. So let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about Destiny, because I think there's a lot to talk about with that. Stick around. We'll be right back.
What up, Internet? This is Tom from the Entertainment is Dead podcast. And if you haven't had enough of me already, come on over to entertainmentisdead.com where you'll get some quality stuff like this.
Like, he took his game studio and he went home.
He's part of the Sriracha relocation program.
You got a hater.
You
I really
liked
just
it.
Don't want that to be the one that breaks my computer's cherry.
So you can come grab this dose of ridiculousness every Wednesday until the end of time. You can find us once again at www.entertainmentisdead.com where you can stream the audio right off the site, on iTunes, also on Stitcher. If you want to communicate with us, you can reach us on Twitter at EID Podcast. We're basically everywhere. We'll catch you guys there.
It's really hard to
what
say.
What podcast is it?
The Big Shiny Podcast.
The Big Shiny Podcast. Shut up. So, we are going to talk about Destiny, the latest game from Bungie. It has come out on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3. It is kind of first-person shooter slash MMORPG slash RPG slash
shared world shooter.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. I like it. Like, I'm just going to throw that out there. I think the reviews have been, like, relatively negative.
But they're spot on to a point.
I would say the majority of the reviews I've read, like, Polygon gave it a 6 out of 10. And then there... I think it deserves a 6 out of 10, but then also the Angry Gamer one, I don't know if you saw that thing that Chris had posted. I think it was like a half-hour review, but it was spot on, and it kind of beats it up. But every review I've seen says, you know, the music is amazing, the worlds are amazing, but then there are plenty of complaints that are just like spot on that for me makes it a 6 out of 10.
So as the non-gamer here, who's played this?
The three of us.
I've watched it.
Okay.
Tyson.
So Halo. They did Halo.
Right. Yeah,
right? Better or...
This isn't as good as Halo.
Really?
Ah, see, okay. And I...
So now is
there's
it
elements I like that Halo can have?
Yeah, but what Halo
is
did?
It a,
so
do
what
you
Halo,
have to play it with people?
You have to be online.
You have to be online.
You don't have to play with people, but you have to be online.
Okay. What Halo did for them as a company, they didn't recreate with this. They made
it's
a lot
true,
of promises they didn't follow through with.
And they didn't
in my opinion.
The thing is, like, with the gunplay and with a lot of the enemy design, they didn't really stray away from Halo too far. Like
the Flood and
you've got the Hive, which are essentially the Flood but faster. You know, you've got the Cabal. I don't know what the Cabal relate to, but they're just the one thing I would say is the biggest complaint from the single player perspective that I had was that there was like four types of enemies per race. And they all had the same idea. So like with, you know, you've got the Cabal, right? And you had the shield guys. So the shield guys, you shoot them in the arm, they open their arms up, you shoot them in the head, they're dead. Okay? Then you get to the robots. The Vex. The Vex. Yeah. So then the Vex have the base unit, right? The Goblin or the Grunts. You kill them. Then they've got the Hobgoblin. You shoot them. Their shield activates. You reload while their shield's activating. You shoot them in the face. They're dead. Then you've got the Minotaur, which is the same as the Knight, which is the same as the Cabal Centurion, mm-hmm. which is the same, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's all...
Which is the same as the Captain. Like,
and they since have, you like, don't get a lot classes. Of classes. And you don't get a lot of story of who they are or why they're there. The whole, a lot of the complaints that people have that I agree with is, like, I don't have time to tell you what I don't have time to tell you. Like, right. a character literally says that in the game. So yeah. It's kind of frustrating.
I don't even have time to explain why I don't have time to explain.
Right, and as we're debating this, some people are like, well, if you really, like, find all these little pieces and nuances and really listen, he'll explain why everybody's at war. And I'm like, then why is there a fucking single-player experience at all if I have to go dig up all these artifacts to learn why they're at war?
Well, at one point that this reviewer made, I wish I remember the name of the video, but so you get all these grimoire cards, which you can read on the website, which give you more backstory. But it's taking you out of the game. Like, the point of that they talked about leading up to Destiny is that you wanted to be immersed in this world. So why would right. the story for the world that you want to be immersed in be off the game?
Well, and they had that mobile app integration, which isn't really that awesome. Like, they talked about how much the mobile app was going to be amazing. You know what it is? It's an armory, which guess who did an armory for their game 10 years ago? World of fucking Warcraft.
So one thing I want to... The game is...
So you have the game... You have online, and you have the phone app thing?
Well, so the app yeah. integrates, but all the app does is, like, I can pull my app out and be like, hey, Kylie, do you want to see my guy right now? And I pull up the Destiny app, and I can go show you my Warlock.
It just shows the guy and what gear you've got equipped right now.
Yeah.
So the game itself is fun. Like, the shooter aspects are tight. Oh, they're great.
Spot on.
They do a lot of great vertical stuff that's a lot of fun. But all of it feels like all the story stuff that they had promised and let up, because this is such a huge, it's like $500 million game. It's been being developed for over a decade. Which,
by the way, they've almost broken even on already.
So the thing for me is, it feels like either they were nervous or Activision was nervous, but they took a lot of the story that they shown in trailers and promised and tore it out of the game and is putting it into DLC now.
Right.
Which for me, the people defending saying this, they've got this 10-year plan and you got to stick with it and they're going to release stuff. So no, I paid $60 for a game that I'm into 15 hours.
Yeah,
if they're going to give me story, I need some story.
And here's the thing is, I finished the single player experience in like 13 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And now all I'm doing is doing my daily quests. And I'm running on strikes.
You're grinding.
I'm grinding. And, like, honest to God, it took me 4 years of World of Warcraft before all I was doing was my daily quests and occasionally running strikes.
And see, that amount
it's
of time...
so limited.
Now, I'm not saying Halo is, like, the best story on the planet, but the playing a Halo game, the story you got in those 9 to 12 hours got right. you from a point A to a point B, whereas I don't know anything more than I knew about Destiny from yeah. the start to now.
Well, and that's so when I was finishing...
And that's what's frustrating, because it's supposed to be this big, immersive Star Wars
right.
world,
and
you didn't get any of that.
And they've got this incredible cast. I mean, they've got fucking Tyrion Lannister narrating you.
And somehow they make him boring as fuck.
Right,
and he just does exposition the whole game.
He pulls you out
game.
Of the experience sometimes. There's times when he's perfect, and there's other times when he speaks and it yanks me out of the game experience. Like, I'm literally like, what am I doing? Like, I'm into the game, and he talks, and I go,
well, it's because it's always the same, because you get, I don't know about you, but I get distracted of, you're going to point A, and he's telling you a bunch of bullshit. You get to point A, he says, okay, now you got to scan this thing, and you scan it, and then sure enough, like, you got to defend him from a flood of people.
Give me more time. I just need a few more minutes.
So you don't give a shit what he says, because it's just fitting into that same yeah. cookie-cutter situation.
But then there's
times...
The gameplay's
tight and fun, and it's fun to play with friends, but it's not hitting all those marks they promised.
Yeah, and I think the problem people have that I have is, so, you know, I sit down, like, I'm just going to do my daily, and I've played for 5.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, fuck, I just played 6 hours of Destiny, and it was fun, I think. And I think that's the biggest problem, is I walk away from a six-hour game session and go, I think I had a good time.
See, now...
It's like sleeping with the fat chick.
I'm going to kind of counter this.
Always fun.
Like, so, leading up to Destiny, I bailed out of following what Destiny was supposed to be and all
sure.
the news and everything like that shortly after they announced it, because I don't have patience for this shit. Right, especially because, like, now they're announcing games like, you guys, 2 years from now, this game is going to be the fucking bee's knees. I'm like, what? I don't get to play this game for 2 fucking years? I give zero shits. Let me know a month before it comes out, and then I'll be interested.
I don't think they use the term bee's knees.
Not since School of Rock.
Yeah. But, so, I bailed out on following anything to do with Destiny. I just didn't give a shit.
Well,
I was like,
if you
this...
were following it, there was nothing to follow. They
well,
did
right.
all the big announcements 2 years ago and then shut up about it until
well, right.
it launched.
But my point is, like, I didn't have any expectations going into it. And I was kind of, like, following what, like, Chris thought, Senator Cooch, our web guy, you know, thought on the beta and stuff like that, right? And I was kind of like, what do you think? And he's like, I don't know. Because my thing is, I'm a very much a social gamer. So, Chris, are you going to buy it? Are you going to play it? Then I'll buy it and play it, because I'll play it with you. And I've enjoyed the hell out of this game. Now, it does have its problems. Some of the missions feel repetitive. And I feel like, as far as like upping your Crucible rank, your Vanguard rank, your, if you've joined one of the cults, like your rank there, it takes too long. I feel like they could trim that down a little bit.
But they're doing it because there's nothing else.
Right.
So if I could hit Vanguard rank 5 or 10 or whatever in a week.
Right. They're slow burning it.
I leave the game.
They're slow burning it. But that being said, every night, you know, I generally get on about, I don't know, I'd say it's fair to say at least two nights a week, which is pretty good considering having a kid and all that shit, finding the time for it. Every time I log off after playing with like Lucas and Chris, or just Lucas or just Chris or anything like that, I've had a great time. And we've had some epic boss battles, and we fought hordes and hordes of motherfuckers. And I really have a great time with it. And I get people's complaints, but at the same time, and maybe it's like my different frame of mind right now, because where I don't have like 5 days a week to dedicate to a game, that, oh, well, 2 days a week and I'll put in a couple hours each night. It's like, oh, okay, I've made a little bit of progress, and I'm happy with it. And I feel like there's things that could move faster, but my experience thus far is that every time I sit down to play the game, and like today, like I sat down and played it just by myself for like a couple hours and did a couple strike like matchmaking things.
Right.
And I had a great time doing it with complete strangers. You know, we took down the fucking Earth. We did the Earth Strike mission, and mm-hmm. I had a great time. So I don't know. My point of view may be different, and I understand, but I wouldn't say it's a 6 out of 10. I would say it's like at least a 7. Yeah, you know, maybe even an 8 for me.
And when we did like the EID, the review, which is on the site, we sat and talked about it, and at the end we said, okay, everybody give it a score. And I think we came out at like 7.6 was what we kind of came out, like a 7.5, 7.75.
Yeah.
And the reason for that was we had the spectrum. We had Lance, who was like, this game is a 9.
Yeah, Lance loves that game.
But the thing is Lance...
In fact, we can't play with Lance on Xbox, because when if we party up with him, which Lucas and I made the mistake of doing one night...
Oh, yeah.
And especially me, I get my shit wrecked because he's done all that grinding.
Well, here's the thing is, you know, Lance hasn't finished a single player, right? Because all Lance did is and
he did Crucible.
He did exactly, but that's the best part. That's my favorite.
That's what you're supposed to do.
But that's my favorite part about Destiny, because I fucking hate Crucible and I hate multiplayer, and I got burned out on the Halo multiplayer after 2. I was done, and so I know that assholes like Lance are gonna spend all their time in the fucking Crucible. And those of us that actually want to go explore a beautiful world and see cool shit and get neat items that way, I don't have to deal with the teabaggers.
And I don't know if they've changed something with like one of these recent patches that they put out this week, but like today I sat down and played a solid 2 hours of Crucible. And I had the most fun playing Crucible since I bought the game.
Maybe they finally fixed the balance issue, because
they're tightening up the matchmaking.
Well, because the problem with the Crucible is the first-person shooter, right? But it's got an MMO-style battle system, which means... Though your level is even when you go into the Crucible, your armor and your weapons directly affect how you perform. And so if I'm in a match with Lance, so this happened to me a ton, I would get to jump on a guy who was a couple levels above me. I would get 3 headshots and hit him with a grenade. He would survive and one-shot me.
Yeah.
Because he had guns. He was level 24 and had guns well above where I'm at.
Yeah. And see, I'm a level 23, and so maybe it's because I finally collected enough armor and weapons to be competitive. But I mean, I was by no means wrecking anybody, but I felt like I was finally to the point where I was being competitive, and it wasn't just like turning a corner and dying like every 5 seconds. And that's how it felt at first, and I was very unimpressed with it. But even that being said, I played a couple hours of Crucible today, and then I turned around and I was like, yeah, okay, well, that was fun and all, but I want to go play the strike missions.
Yeah, and
I think, even though like none of my friends were online, it was like, I'm going to get in with some matchmaking and do some strike missions, because the multiplayer stuff is epic. And I have confidence in Bungie just because of the history with them that they will build upon that. And maybe because I didn't pay attention to the hype and they perhaps overhyped it, that I'm like, I had no expectations going into this game, and I'm having a blast with it.
I think that's a pleasant surprise, and that's fine. But I guess my big concern is that when I think of my experience in playing MMOs, and I've played quite a few, and how much content they have, and I look at this,
it doesn't have it.
And that's my concern, is that, like, a guy like me, so the only thing they're doing, like, right now I can grind it up with the queen, right? So I can go and do all those queen quests, which I'm not even high enough level to do, but I've got to keep working on those and grinding that out. The issue I have is that there can be more content. I don't necessarily know that. I think they're going to reach a point, because the one thing that World of Warcraft, EverQuest, Guild Wars, I don't know, name a slew of MMOs have, is they've got this dedicated, hardened fan base that's going to keep going. And my concern is that, like, because there's parts right now in the tower where they're not open, and you're like, man, what are they going to put behind those doors? What's going to be in there, right? And I run into that in the Worlds. I'm like, oh, man, this is this whole area that's just kind of locked off. They can make a whole thing here. But do you think that they're just going to move everything to Crucible? I'm not convinced they're going to build out the world like I want it to, or they're going to release a new content patch. And I'll finish this thought, and then you can go. They're going to release a new content patch, and I'm going to blow through that story in 2.5 hours, and I'm going to start grinding towards to get my new gear for that, and I'll spend 50 hours doing that. And the new content patch, the current model they're at, they're going to have to be dropping content patches really fast to keep the avid gamers happy, and that's my concern.
So, in my opinion of this, Destiny in itself is a game.
Yeah.
It is successful at being a game. It wants to be an MMORPG. It wants to be a first-person shooter. It wants to be this and that and all these other things.
It doesn't know what it wants.
It doesn't do any of that. It's a game. It's a game that's fun. It's a game that you can have a good time with your friends. But everything that it wants to do, it plays so safe that it isn't really great or successful at any of them. Like Crucible, it's kind of fun. You can get in. You can use your own guy. But it's also completely unbalanced because of those things. So it's not a great first-person shooter for those reasons. It wants to be an MMORPG, but it's torn out so much of the story that there's nothing to keep you in the game. There's nothing to keep you that invested. While the battles are fun, you're fighting these bullet sponges that there's not much variety. Like, each strike, you fight this big guy, find the weak point, shoot him as long as you can, and fight off the hordes until you move on to the next thing. When there's no story developed, there's no reason to be invested in what is actually happening. This game came out, what is it, September? So middle of September. You've got the Master Chief Collection dropping in November.
Which guts half his audience.
That's a console seller. That's like, my brother is going to buy a console just to play that series. So half of the Bungie audience that knows them from Halo is going to leave for that. And there's already enough content now that isn't there that people are having fun, but they're like, okay, well, I'm ranked up to 20, and I want to get to 25, but to do that I have to get loot drops. And loot drops then give you the experience points to go up, which are completely random. They're not skill-based. So if we play a strike and I'm the best guy on the team, there's no reason for me to get more stuff than you guys would. So I could be stuck at 22.
And that's another problem with it. So this is something that's been bothering the hell out of me. So I do a lot of strikes because I love – when I was playing WoW, I raided 3 nights a week. I was playing 40 hours a week of World of Warcraft. Right? I loved that game.
That's a full-time fucking
job. Yeah, it was. And that's why I ended up quitting. It's like, fuck, I have two jobs. And the thing is, though, is when you kill a major boss in an instance in an MMO, and there's usually 4 to 5 of them, they drop epic loot. And there's generally anywhere from 5 to 30 pieces of loot they will drop that are class-specific, and you roll for them. I get better armor off of trash mobs on Earth than I do off of bosses in Strike.
Exactly, and that's why you have the glory hole.
That's why the glory hole works.
The glory hole is for those that don't play.
Which got patched today.
There's
a new one, though.
There's this cave you could view from far enough away that you'd kill a bad guy, and you were far enough away that they'd respawn. So you just keep shooting into this cave, and then you could run up and take a bunch of the loot, but you got better things from that than playing anything else in the game.
And so my example is I'm playing through I've had a couple server issues with the game, but I'm playing through the strike, and one at the end of the strike you have to fight the Cylon flayers. They're not Cylon, but the flayers, yeah. The Scion flayers. And as we killed the final boss all of last week, if I'd finish a strike, I would get this weird error and it would crash me out of the game. It was called the error code was Baboon. And when I looked it up on their help site, it was like, yeah, we're looking into this. We don't know why. So, but the thing is I, so I would never, I didn't finish a strike for 10 days, and I got better armor. So then this week I can finish strikes, and we kill, like, these giant fucking monsters. They're, like, 20-minute battles, and they don't drop anything.
Right, and so, and that is one issue I have, is, like, with the strikes, you like you said, you fight these bullet sponges, right? And it's epic, and you have a great time with this battle and stuff, and then you finally defeat this guy after 20 minutes focused on, like, trying to focus all your fire on one enemy, and there's nothing specifically that you get from that guy.
Right, and that gives you the reason to play the strikes. Like, that's, like, there was a time, once again, going back to World of Warcraft, my guild wanted, there was an epic tiger mount that only dropped, like, 1.5% of the time. So one of our raids, it was in a thing called Zul'Gurub, ZG. So once a week, we would all get together and do ZG, praying that epic tiger mount would drop. That was our purpose. That's what unified us. Right now, my purpose is to get my light level up. That's right. All I got. And once I get my light level to 28, then I'm going to go through and do this big, massive raid in the House of Glass, right? But it's hard because...
But you won't get anything better out of doing that.
So they did this big article on the first raid team that was able to go do it, right? And they're all stoked on it. Yeah, we were the first raid team to do it.
15 hours or something.
Yeah. And they go, oh, they did it. They're so great. I'm like, great. What did they get out of it? Yeah. They got better gear, right? But can't they just go farm that gear everywhere else? There's so many things that, like, start well. You know, the herb system, and that's not an herb system, but, like, you get, like, the spirit bloom and the spin metal, and I've used it, like, 3 times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've got, like, 45 hours.
And I don't even know what the fuck to use the mode of light for.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, what is this deal? And then, so I feel like
they have all these
really good ideas all over the place, but they're not together.
Well, that's kind of more to my point, is it's a game. It's a pretty fun game, but the longevity isn't there, and all the marks that they said they were going to be hitting, they didn't.
Yeah, or like
it works okay as a game, but it's not a great first-person shooter for competitive. It's not a great MMORPG. That's why I keep saying, like, the 6. It's fun, but as soon as something else comes along, people are dropping off, and there's no reason for you to buy into the game if... You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to sell a console. If somebody came to me and said, should I buy Destiny? I'd be like, I don't know. I can't say that you should. Because Mike would hate it, my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to play, but all the mission stuff, he wouldn't play that.
But can I say the one thing it's done for me that I think is incredible? And this, it might be different for you guys. You guys play games together a lot. I don't play a lot with my friends. This is the first game in probably 4 years that I am actively playing with my friends. What I mean is, Esteban calls me. Hey, what are you doing? I just got off work. Want to go to the gym? Sure. What are you going to do after that? I don't know. Anna's out. Do you want to play Destiny? Yeah, let's play together.
I agree. Yeah,
my buddy Paul calls me. Dude, what are you doing right now?
See, maybe I'm more patient. So that's the
difference.
I'm willing to, like, I think so far, like, the Destiny story so far.
It's awful.
But here's the thing. I'm willing to take it as, like, the first bit of what could be something... bigger.
There's nothing. Yeah, there's no fucking story there. Like, there's, like, at least in Halo 1, you knew who the bad guys were, yeah, like, who you were, so, and why you were fighting them.
Why do the Fallen want you dead?
Why are you alive? Why did they pick you?
Why did they reignite you?
Right, but why do those questions have to be answered in the first?
Because 10 it's got hours a single player campaign.
At least some questions, like, nothing's answered. It's all just like, this is bullshit. I understand that you're saying it's a fun game and it's fun to play, but I can't let anybody defend the story because there's no story there.
No, I'm not saying the story is great, but I'm just saying, like, I'm intrigued enough to be like, okay, let's see if the DLC can expand upon this. I'm not saying that the story is what's hooked me.
But I think that's part of the bullshit is you shouldn't have to, that's the Activision side of it, them publishing it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to buy DLC to understand what the game you just played is about.
Right, but I'm not talking about DLC that you purchased because they're releasing a lot of content.
They're doing, those are raids, but they're not story related.
Right.
The content that's story related you have to pay for, they've said.
So my example is,
that's why it's frustrating to me. It's like,
so my buddy Paul, every day off, he has played probably 6 to 8 hours of Destiny. And so I'm playing one day, and he jumps in my party. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm finally going to finish the story. It's been, you know, I just want to finish it. He's like, I'll help you. He's like level 22. I'm like level 16. I'm like, great, let's do this. So we blow through the story, and we kill the end boss thing. And I'm like, awesome. What does that all mean? He's like, I don't know. I've played through the game twice now, story-wise, helping friends, and I don't fucking get it. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, I don't know.
When they showed, like, in a review I saw, a lot of the cutscenes in the trailers aren't in the game right now.
Yeah, there's no cuts. I mean,
of the people, the cutscenes
is your ship flying to a planet with Lord Tyrion talking to you.
That's a load screen.
With horns going, yeah. Burr, 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 burr.
Well, and a lot of the cutscenes are advertising DLC. It's like, I don't have time to tell you what I don't have time to tell you, but this thing's going to happen in the future, and then we can tell you.
Yeah, but then the counterpart of it is I've still put like 60 fucking hours into this goddamn game.
Yeah.
That's the weird part for me is like, I kind of hate it, but I can't stop playing it.
You're hate fucking this game is what you're doing.
I'm hate fucking the shit out of it. And like,
for me, it's fun for now. You know, that fun girl you're dating for the time, but I'm not sticking around long. As soon as something better comes along, I'm off.
And I think that's what hurts, that bums me out, because I feel
I wanted it to be a long-term
thing. I did, and I think that's what everyone's feeling, is like, Destiny had the idea to be the future of gaming. Like, it had this beautiful sales pitch where it was, this game is what all games are going to strive to be. Mm-hmm. It's going to make all of your first-person shooter multiplayer junkies happy. It's going to make all of your MMO grinders happy. And it's finally going to take this open world, and it's going to take the dumb second screen experience that some games have fucked around with but not gotten right, and it's going to get it right. And instead, like you said earlier, it just kind of did it all.
It touched on everything. It's a game, but it didn't revolutionize any of these things that it could have.
And the fact of the matter is, like, on my last day off, I was like, man, I should play some more Destiny. You know what? I've got to review this game. I'm just going to play Disgaea for 6 hours straight on my Vita. And I did, because I got the same emotional rise out of a game that I kind of like as I did out of playing Destiny. I've got to work on the Sherlock Holmes review. Well, you know what? At least with Sherlock Holmes, I'm using my brain. I'm going to go play Sherlock Holmes. And that's my problem, is I have a choice, a clear choice between 7 different games, and I'm still actively seeking games to buy when Destiny should be my end-all of this year. And it's just not. I might as well go buy. I think Disney Infinity 2 has a better chance of giving me depth and a build than Destiny does right now. Not to say that in a year and a half. Not to say that.
It feels like that it was torn apart. Really feels like, I don't know if it was Activision or the, I don't know where the
maybe,
fuck up was.
Maybe they bit off more than they can chew. Maybe they looked and said, you know what? If we want this game to release in fall of 2014 for next gen.
Yeah, we can't do all this
stuff. We can't make it as amazing. And that's fine. But I'm scared now, as someone who wants Destiny to be that game, is that in a year from now, when they finally get all that coming,
who's still going to be around?
Who's still going to be around? And am I going to walk? Because that's what happened with, not Guild Wars, but it was an MMO. It was a gorgeous MMO, and I wanted to play it so bad. And I actually built my first gaming PC to play this game. And I got it. I got a free copy. I started playing it, and I came back 6 weeks later, and the servers were, like, empty.
Right, and that's like, everybody keeps saying it's the long play. They've got a 10-year plan. Well, who's going to be here in 3 or 4 months to play it with me?
And I mean, we played Halo 2, right? I played Halo 2 for 2 years. I really did. Mm-hmm. But that was before, I mean, that was when the Xbox 3,
when it was the only first-person shooter on the internet.
And it was really the only game on Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. Like, Halo 2 was Xbox Live for 2 years or more. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jet Set Radio Future was online. Nobody played it. Nobody played Bloodwake.
But as far as like competitive games, and right now, you look at the marketplace,
it's saturated. And so that's...
So I think it's fun, but I don't think it deserves any more than the 6 out of 10.
6 to 8.
With what's there now.
Depending on what you're getting out of the game.
Yeah, you guys are a little more forgiving than I am on it. And I'm not saying I'm not having fun playing it, but I wouldn't tell anybody to go buy it. Tyson even asked me, he's like, should I go buy this tomorrow? I'm like, if you're basing it on me buying it, sure, but based off the beta, I don't see anything interesting outside of being a shooter that you can play with your friends.
And I think that, like...
But it has good shooter stuff, like the verticality of it, the double jumps, the jetpacks.
The guns feel
incredible. The guns are fun, the sound is amazing, the soundtrack, the worlds, I wish you could start from different points so there's more exploration, they're great. The fact that you can get on your scout bike and haul ass anywhere you want. Well, all of that stuff is a lot of fun. The vehicle system is... I want a story to help kind of keep that going.
Well, and that's another thing that's my bitch, but that's another MMO thing, is like, I saved my first, like, 5,000 glimmer I saved up was so I could buy a new ship.
Yeah, that's what Chris did too, and I was like, fuck you guys, I'm getting a weapon. Yeah, it's just loading screen.
You know what it did for me? It made my loading screen more interesting. Like, I spent, like, 30 hours getting enough money to make a better loading screen.
Yeah, I bought a bigger gun.
And that's another... The drops are so fucking inconsistent. Like, my buddy... Yeah, dude. When you beat the game, spoiler alert, you get a gun.
And it's worse than the gun I've already got.
See, and I'm the opposite. It doubled my attack power. And I haven't gotten a better gun yet. And I'm level 22.
See, and I've been
at level 23 got a better... But Tom and I are warlocks.
Yeah, so I think it might be
a warlock problem. And here's the thing, like, if Destiny is the long play, warlock is the long play within the long play.
Yeah.
Because warlock is, like, one of the best classes you can be, but you have to stick it out. Like,
Titans, and what's the other one? Hunters.
Titans and Hunters, they're, like, pretty, like... good out of the gate, and then they stay pretty consistent throughout the whole thing. Warlock is very much one of the things, like,
level up slow.
You start off weak and you level up slow and you have to slow play it, but then you hit a certain point and you're gonna waste any Titan or
Hunter
or lower level warlock in your path.
Are you playing
it takes forever to get there?
I'm playing a Hunter, but you're not gonna be able to do that.
Does the Hunter have two trees? So, because, like, with the Warlock, I can go Sunslinger, or I can stay with what I'm at.
Yeah, Void, have a subclass. Void Walker. Has a subclass, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Voidwalker. Once I max my Voidwalker, I'm going to flip over to Sunslinger and start leveling it.
I've done a little bit of Sunslinger, but it's not as... It doesn't seem as great.
I think the problem is you're a high-level Voidwalker, because you're so... Well, right. So I think if you started Sunslinger...
But that's the thing, too. Like, is I've leveled up my Warlock and everything, and it's like, I get in there now... And I'm starting to waste some bitches.
Yeah.
Like,
in the Crucible.
In the Crucible.
But yeah.
There's just...
And here's the thing. Like, read any review of, like, the multiplayer or anything like that. People will tell you, like, to start off in Crucible, the weakest class you can be is Warlock.
Right.
And it's frustrating as shit to get in there as a Warlock. And so to grind that out...
I haven't won a Crucible match yet.
Really?
Uh-uh.
I was tearing shit up today.
But I haven't gone in there since level 18 because it pissed me off. But Lance, who's a Titan, he's like, dude, I'm rocking it, and he's rocking Crucible gear. He's leveling up. So I think the other critique I have, if I'm gonna bitch about this game that I put so many hours into, is that, oh man, I almost lost it. Maybe I have to give up on it. Never mind. It left my brain. I'm just drunk.
So as the non-gamer person here, I love games, but I'm not a big gamer like you guys. Would you go back to, what was the last big thing? Titanfall?
Yeah.
Would you go back and play that compared to this?
So the difference between the two games is Destiny promised to be these different genres and then have this big story and universe like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And Titanfall said, here's some fucking robots. Get in and shoot those guys. Why are you shooting them? Who fucking cares? Shoot those guys and smash that guy and smash that building.
And that's what it sounds like.
It hit every fucking note on that. And Destiny is like, we're this. So whereas that is the Burger King and Wendy's, Destiny's supposed to be your sit down steak restaurant, and it's kind of giving you something that's somewhere in between. You know, like five guys.
It's like a really shitty steak.
It's like going to Sizzler.
Yeah, it's like we think we're fancy.
Destiny
but
is
no.
the Sizzler of video games.
Last stupid question.
Not at all.
So, I'm sure everyone has Xbox One. Is that what you're playing on?
We're on Xbox One. He's on PS4. Okay.
So, if I had a PS3 and got it, could I play with you?
No.
With the PS4?
You're all by yourself. So, that's the other problem.
That's fucked up.
You can play with my sister-in-law's fiance.
I'm sure.
Margarita.
The nice part is if you bought the Xbox 360 and you decide to get to Xbox One, you can trade it out for free.
Yeah,
well, that's all well and good, but the technology should be there where if I have a PS3 and he has a PS4...
Well, hold on, the technology should be there that me and Lucas could play with Tom regardless of
platform. And that's a whole other problem, because I think, honestly, my review would probably raise a point if I could play with these guys, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just different servers and different ways.
It'll never happen. But so what's
retarded.
It's just...
I get the idea behind it, but it's never going to happen.
Yeah. It won't, and it's... Yeah, it's just so limiting, and it's so much fun and so terrible. And then, like,
it's not terrible because it succeeds at being a game. It doesn't succeed at all the things it wanted to do.
It's not broken. Mostly.
See, and that's the thing. Maybe I'm more forgiving because I didn't really pay attention to the hype.
In the context outside of what it said it was going to be,
right? And I don't disagree. I have a lot of gripes about the game, but I'm having a lot of fun playing it. You know what I mean?
And I think that's the same conundrum we're discussing. I can sit and I can give you specific reasons why Destiny is fucking dumb. But I've still leveled, like, I'm still fucking playing it. Yeah. And I'm going to log in tomorrow morning before work and play it.
We've already said we know what it is. You're playing with your friends because it's a fun game to play with friends. And me and Tyson and Chris are playing because it's fun to play with friends.
And we have a great time. Like, that big fucking ogre guy. Fun. Like, it was...
Oh, that ogre is fucking awesome.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of fucking fun. And I don't know, I'm having a great time with it. You know, I'll continue to play it for quite a long time, I think. I don't know. It's kind of like the television series thing, right? Kind of like a 3-episode before you make your final decision on it. I'm willing to give this some time and a little bit of DLC before I make a final. At some point, it's going to be like, yes, I'm in. I'm going to continue to buy the DLC and stick with this game. Or it's going to be like, you know what? I bought the game. I bought the last two DLC. And it's still just not... like it's. I'm still having fun with it, but it's not increasing its worth, so I'm out.
So that's my point I wanted to make. So they're doing these events already, right? They've already started with events. So the Queen event.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, hell yeah, new bounties. They're not fucking new. They have a different picture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the way I'm like, oh, cool, I'm going to grind up with the Queen. Get 200 headshots. Motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm doing that one right now, and it takes for
fucking go hour. To the glory hole, and just above the glory hole. It's really easy.
Is that really a thing?
It's really, yeah. So
well, it's not game called it. The week.
So
it's all fucking sick.
We were talking about this, but Penny Arcade did a really funny comic strip where it was like the point of view of the people that made Destiny, and they're like, wait a second, somebody's having fun playing Destiny? What's this glory hole I keep hearing about? Patch it. And they've already gotten rid of the glory holes.
Yeah, and like
within a day or two.
Today they announced I think it's IGN. They found another glory hole.
It wouldn't surprise me if they patched that soon too.
But my gripe with that is that, like, okay, I'm like, great, there's this new Queen's Wrath, you know, this whole thing where I can grand rep with her and get cool looking armor and a fucking awesome ass ship. It's all the same bounties modified to say the Queen.
And see, that's another thing that kind of pisses me off. So they said in the game, some of the trailers and leading up to it, that you're going to be able to completely customize your character, which you can't. Like, no. you're limited
unless
to
you find a shader that's like fucking impossible.
Well, but you're also limited to, like, you want the light. So if you find a helmet you really like, but it doesn't have enough light, you're not going
to
wear it.
And then you're sacrificing armor class to increase your light. I had to drop 100 armor to get my light level up.
So, you know, exactly. But then supposedly.
Fuck that.
Supposedly you were going to be able to say, like, oh, Tyson's wearing that red trench coat. You could only get that by killing the Queen. That guy went through some shit to get that trench coat. But now it's all random drops. That's not the case. But they said, leading up to it, like, that's what's going to happen. You'll get successful things. Like, you'll get big prizes for being successful at hard things, and other people will recognize that. But it's not true. It's all random.
Yeah.
So it's just...
So like,
that's probably my biggest complaint about Destiny, is that you don't get rewarded for harder things. Like, Lucas and I will get in there, and we're like, oh, well, I took out a bounty... and we have to do it on this level with this heroic modifier and all this stuff. And it's like, we didn't get shit for it, except for
2,500 experience.
Yeah, except for, like, we get to turn in our bounty, right? But, like, we just went through and spent 30 minutes, you know, doing this strike mission or what have you, and fighting these fucking tough bosses and shit. There isn't a loot crate to be found. The final boss, or, like, even the sub-boss, doesn't drop shit.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, well, like, to this day, like, I don't understand the difference of, like, if me, Chris, and Lucas get into a game and we decide, like, hey, let's go run some random strike missions, right? And we bump the difficulty level up to extra hard. Like, why do that?
Theoretically, you're supposed to get legendary engrams.
Theoretically. But here's the thing, like, even when you switch it over, it doesn't say, like, hey, if you up the difficulty, you're going to get this, this, and this.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It doesn't offer any explanation. And then at the end of it, you're like, well, I could have just played through this in normal and gotten the same experience.
Even more to that point, can I tell you how I got to level 20?
Banging dudes.
So, yeah,
you should have just went to each other's house and played with each other's glory holes.
I know. Right? So to get to level 20, I got a bounty called, I got Knuckle Duster. Yeah, which is you have to kill 30 enemies with melee without dying.
Oh, yeah, that's a bitch.
No, it's not if you go to the moon
at yeah.
level 19 and just melee everybody on the
because they're all level 4s and 6.
Yeah, and guess what? I got the level. And then the other one was kill 30 guys without taking any damage. Once again, sniper rifle plus moon at level 19 when everyone's level 4.
Yeah.
Take any, like,
worked out perfect for you.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, that's a problem. Like, the fact of the matter, I got the same experience for killing a level 4 creature as I did killing a creature at my level.
Right.
There's a lot of really, like, you couldn't fucking call an RPG company. Hey, I bet Square Enix has a guy laying around that's not doing anything, or a gal. Call them and fucking ask them a question. Hey, how do you scale a game?
Right. Well, and that's where it feels like you said, maybe it was rushed. Maybe they had to cut out stuff that they weren't planning on. Maybe Activision pushed them. Or maybe them themselves were worried that they weren't going to get their return on investment.
Which
and
they
so
did.
They wanted to take stuff out and make more DLC. Who knows?
Yeah, but the worst part about all of this, we've been bitching for 37 minutes. I still can't stop fucking playing this stupid game.
I like the game. I like playing it. That's the thing.
I do enjoy playing it. And that's the weird part for me is, like, I'm still playing it, like, a couple hours a week.
I think that's why the critics have been as harsh as they have with it. It's because it's like, there's a lot here that works really well, but as one cohesive thing, it just doesn't taste right. There's just something in there that's not working yet.
It's like fucking your friend's mom.
Don't.
And on that note,
been there.
That's a story for Joe.
That's right. So, thank you for joining us this week for the Big Shiny Podcast. I'd like to thank our sponsors, the Bohemian Brewery, SuperheroStuff.com, and SecretCompassCollectibles.com. We'll be recording a new batch of episodes in October, maybe from Matagogo. Who knows?
Who knows where?
Who knows what we do?
You'll find us when we're ready.
That's right. But we appreciate you listening, and thank you listening. Thank you for listening to the Big Shiny Podcast. We'll catch
Thank you for listening to the Big Shiny Podcast. As always, you can check us out on iTunes. Please listen and rate. You can also find us on Stitcher. And be sure to check out our good friends at Entertainment Is Dead and the Full of Sith Podcast. And a special thanks to our good sponsors at Secret Compass, who you can find at secretcompassonline.com.